of the 39 malachas. He says it only applies to Hoitzoah and Havar. Why should it only apply to Hoitzoah and Havar? So the Mefarshim say it's based on the Psukim. The Pasuk in Chumash says regarding Havara, so it sounds like Havara only applies to Shabbos, doesn't apply to Yontif. There was one opinion like that, that Havara lelav yatzis, a separate Iser. There was a machlokes hatanoim. Why is Havara singled out? What's the relevance of Havara being mentioned specifically? There were 39 avos malachas, so why is Havara mentioned? So the Gemara had on Dafayin, Omer Aleph, in Masech Shabbos, where I had a machlokes hatanoim. One time it says, Havara lechalak yatzis, to teach you the principle of chiluk malachas. That's how we paskin. And the other Tana said, Havar l'lav yasetz, it's only a lav. And the Tesis writes in Psochem on the Pehama base, and the top Tesis, according to that Tana, Havar is only l'lav yasetz, it doesn't carry over to Yontif. It's only an Isar on Shabbos, not a Yontif. So although we don't accept that opinion, we pass on Havar l'chalak yasetz, Havar singled out to teach us chiluk malachas, that if a person violated all the 39 malachas, the Halamechot, he's obligated to bring 39 chatos. It's not the lav yotzes, but nonetheless, as the Rambam understood that the diuk hadloshen losvareish b'chamish sechah b'yom haShabbos b'Shabbos end b'yontav loy that on yontav havar is mutter if you have mitoich. If you don't have mitoich, it'll be yosef. But if you have mitoich, then it'll be mut. Then hoitzah also. This is quoted from the Gemara in Beitzah that there was a machloikas how to read the Beisilu. In the Mishnah, Yud Beis Amar Al, Pesil say permitted to be Moitzeh the Tinoik and the Lulav and the Sefer Torah. And Beisham Ayosrim. You can hear? And Beisham Ayosrim. So why did Pesil say that is Mutter? So there were two explanations given in the Gemara. So the first Svara was that Pesil held the prohibition of Haitzah as a Malacha Grua, and Haitzah only applies on Shabbos, it doesn't apply to Yontif. And that's the deal kaloshen of the pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyah. Lo satzio masim ibatechem b'yoyim haShabbos b'Shabbos and beyond the law. There was one opinion in the end of Yuma that Haitzah doesn't apply to Yom Kippur. That on Yom Kippur you're allowed to carry. You're only not allowed to carry on Shabbos. You're permitted to carry on Yom Kippur. So although we don't pass like that, neither on Yom Kippur nor on Yontif, but a little bit we do accept the deal kaloshen. If you have a mitoich, then it'll be mutter. It's a pella. That's what the Rambam seems to have understood. That mitoich only applies to Haitzoah v'Havorah, doesn't apply to the other 37 malachas. This is mufurish against all the Gemaras. Tosis quoted the Gemara in Beitzah that there was a machlekes b'sham and b'sil if a person cooks non-kosher food on Yontif. Here the Tosfos quotes from Yud Beis on the base, which says in parentheses, Beitzi Yud Beis on the base, person cooks a Gid Anosha on Yontif. So Tosfos explains Shat in the Gemara. Gid Anosha is not kosher, or if you cook Basa B'cholav on Yontif. So if you cook food that's not kosher, that doesn't qualify for Eichel Nefesh. Eichel Nefesh has to be, the official Eichel Nefesh has to be kosher food. But Sof Kol Sof, he plans to eat it. So that is called the Tzarach HaYom Ktsas. So that'll be a Machlekes. According to Beis Hillel, there's no you're in violation of the Isser of eating the Ginon Asha, eating the Basa V'chala, but there's no Isser of Melechas Bishul on Yanta because Mitoch Shehut Shu Letzarech, which are not Mishul Letzarech. So you see, Mitoch applies to Bishul. And the same thing the Gemara said, this is quoted also, Asherich Atoilus Nedove, the Yantif. You're only permitted to Shech Korbonus on Yantif if it's the Korban Shezmana Kavua. If it's not Zman HaKavua, you're not allowed to Shecht on a Yontif. So that's the Tmidim HaMasafim. Zman HaKavua, that's Mamish Zman HaKavua. That's over Yoma bottle Korban. If you don't bring the Korban today, you lose your chance to bring it. So that kind of Zman HaKavua is even Deich HaShabbos. We're permitted to bring Tmidim HaMasafim on Shabbos. On Yontif, it's even called Zman HaKavua if it has a restricted time period. Like the Oil HaSriya, the Shalmi Chagig, you're only Yotze if you bring them during the duration of the 7 days of Pesach, the 8 days of Sukkot, and after that Zman is up, so of a Zman or bottle Karbon, it's not of a Yomo, but it's of a Zman, so for purposes of being bringing Karbonus on Shabbos, has to be this, the more restricted Zman of a Yomo bottle Karbon. If for the heter to bring korbanos on yantiv has to be ovas manu batal korbanah. So you're allowed to bring korbanos shezmanum kavua, korban chayva shezmanu kavua. You're allowed to be doicha yantiv. What if a person brings oilus nedava? He has all year long to bring it. He doesn't have to bring a dafka on yantiv. So you're not allowed to bring it on yantiv. If you do, then you're in violation of the essay of lachem lo la gavoya. Do you get malchus though? You'd only get malchus if you violate a lav. You violate an essay, there is no malchus. The Gemara says that's machlekes bisham and bisil, is there a lav? So according to Beis Hillel who believe in mitoich, so bringing an oilas nedove, it's shchita. You're going to shecht the carbon, you're going to burn it on the mizbech. So shechting the carbon is clear cut natilas neshama. And burning on the mizbech is havara. You're going to burn the chelev on the mizbech. Or if it's an oila, you're going to burn the whole thing on the mizbech. So you're doing netilas neshama. So we say mitoch shehutra shoychet netilas neshama is mutal letzorach ha'ochal nefesh. If people want to eat flesh on yontiv, they're allowed to shech the behemoth on yontiv. It used to be mutal in the days of the Gemara to shech the behemoth on yontiv. So hu adinami, it's mutal to shech that takes off the lav. It's mutal to shech the oilas nedove on yontiv. There won't be a lav. There'll still be an iser esse, but you won't be loike. So the Gemara said beferish that mitoch is a machleik b'sham b'sil. By Shoychet. So how can the Rambam restrict it only to Hoitzor v'Havor? It's a Pella. The Rambam is against the Gemara. It's against our Gemara also. What's the Moloch involved in Chabura? The Gemara says Hoitzor Asadam here, by Bisulim, Dam Bisulim. What Moloch is this? According to the Rambam, the Moloch is Dosh, like squeezing out the juice from the Zeis Manav. According to Taisus, the Moloch is Netilus Neshama. Our Gemara says also Mitoich, on Yontav. Mitoch that it's mutter to do either disha, or it's mutter to do netilas and shama, that's ochach nefesh, it's mutter to do for the purpose of bir rishayna. So the Gemara is befeirish against the Rambam. The Rambam is one of the peladik Rambams of all times. Why the Rambam restricts the din of mitoch only to these two malachas? From the 39 malachas, 37 malachas are not subject to mitoch, only hatsov havara based on the psukim. The diuk from the bab psukim was rejected by the Gemara. The pasuk in Yirmiyah, that's a tzir ma'asa mibatechem b'yoyim ha-shabbos, Shabbos en b'yon tevloi, and the svar reish b'chol mar shesechem b'yoyim ha-shabbos, only goes on Shabbos. The diukim were rejected by the Gemara. So somehow the Rambam made a tchias ha-mesim on the diukim, he resurrected the diukim, and that's the mocker for Beis Hillel's opinion on mitoch. We were asking, where does mitoch come from? So Rashi shita was mitoch means he crossed out the malacha. And the Rabbeinu Chananel holds mitoch is based on Achashach l'chol nefesh. That's what the Yireim said. And then according to the way we usually assume mitoch, so the Ravid claims is based on lochem. And here the Rambam has a different mocha for mitoch. He holds the mitoch only applies to two out of the 39 malachis. And the reason why he say mitoch is because of the Dio Kaloshin, that beyond it sometimes mutter, and the Sevarish b'chom shezechem b'yayim ha-shabbos, and beyond them sometimes mutter. That's the mocha from Itach. It's a pele de gerama. It's against all the gemaras. Okay. That's a problem. There is a din of mugmer. What's the halacha of mugmer? In the days of the Tanoim, the Mishnah Brochas records that there used to be a practice after the meal was all over and after they would finish benching, so they wouldn't run to classes, they wouldn't run back to work, they would relax, and they would bring in a fire, and they would burn incense on the fire. And everybody would relax and smell the incense that's burning. What's going on here? Everything's okay? We're switching horses in midstream? Shalom Aleichem. Okay. So they used to burn incense, and you have to say a bracha on that. Bari atzib psamim, bari izbib psam, whatever, when you smell the burning, the fragrant smell of the besamim. So the Mishnah in Brachas records, Hamascha b'mitzvah om lo gmor, the one whom we were mechabit to bench mezumin in the days of the Tanoim, days of the Gemara, when you would bench mezumin, the mezamin would recite the whole Birchas Hamazon out loud, and all of the people would just listen and say amen, like Chazaras Hashatz. Is a tefillah satzibur, the shliach tzibur offers one tefillah for the whole tzibur. So Birchas Hamazon b'chabura, if you have a mezumin of three, Birchas Hamazon v'asara, Birchas Hamazon for a tzibur. So the mezamin offers one Birchas Hamazon for the whole group. And everybody would listen. So the Mishnah has a cruel, Hamascha v'mitzvah, Amun l'gemar, whomever we were mechabed to mench mezumin, to say the Birchas Hamazon, he has the schus to recite the bracha on the mugmer, to say the bracha on the mugmer to be moitzi everybody. Instead of each person saying his own bracha, we say b'roi vom hadras melech. It's preferable that one person says the bracha on the mugmer on behalf of everybody, rather than everybody say their own. And Shulchan Aruch, that's a whole machloikas. The Vilna Gaon writes like that, that it's preferable for one person to recite Kiddush, their own Kiddush, that mitzvah bol yesem b'shluchay. The Vilna Gaon says it's against all the Mishnayos and against all the Gemaras. The preferable is that one person should say the bracha on behalf of everybody. So that's the Mishnah and brachas, that all week long, after the benching was over, whoever was honored, whoever was given the kavod to recite the benching b'chas hamazon the mezuman, the b'chabura would say the bracha over the smelling and the fragrant psalmim. So on Yantav, the Gemara has a din, you're not allowed to do that malacha of havara. To burn the incense is a malacha, and even though you have hanah from it, everybody has hanah. So the Gemara learns that from the pasuk, achash yachal l'chol nefesh, hu levad yasal lachem, dova hashav l'chol nefesh. It's only permissible to do malacha on Yantav to cook food, or to shecht animals and so on. But mugmer is an aesthetic pleasure that some people do enjoy, some people don't enjoy. So that's called Dov Hashem Nishav Al-Chol Nefesh. Dov Hashem Nishav Al-Chol Nefesh, you're not permitted to do a malach on Yontav. A pasuk, that it's an Isser. There is a Pnei Yoshua on the third Perek of Masech Shabbos and Perek Kira, where the Pnei Yoshua points out that Tosfos there in Shabbos has an interesting definition of what's called Shava L'chol Nefesh. We'll soon read our Gemara. We'll see what does it say in our Gemara. So Tosfos there writes, Dova Hashava L'chol Nefesh means food that's for Brias Haguf. You have to eat food in order to be alive. You need nutrition. Or we had the Mishnah in Beitzah, Anchof Aleph on the base, I think it was, that according to that long Rashba there, heating up water to wash panav yad v'raglav is considered echol nefesh mamish, because that's healthy, to wash the body, panav yad v'raglav is healthy, or to make a fire to keep warm, that a person shouldn't catch a cold, that's healthy. So Tosfos writes in Perikira, the third Perik of Masech Shabbos, any malacha that's done lebrius to keep healthy is considered echol nefesh. Anything that's only done with tainik bialma for aesthetic pleasure, that's called Dov Hashem Nishav L'chol Nefesh. That's Tosfos' definition. So the Pnei Yeshua writes, what about smoking on Yontav? That was always a big debate. Is it permissible to smoke on Yontav or not? So the Pnei Yeshua writes, people today smoke. We assume that smoking today is for aesthetic pleasure. It's not at all healthy. The Surgeon General has ascertained that it's unhealthy, that you're going to die early if you smoke enough. So in the days of the Pnei Yeshua, the doctors of his generation thought that whatever smoking they had at that time, this helped people digest the food better. This is what the doctors thought at that time. So the Pnei Yeshua writes, based on Tosfos' definition, that Dov Hashava L'chol Nefesh means whatever is lebrius, and Dov Hashem Hashava L'chol Nefesh means whatever is only letainug. So it doesn't really matter whether more than 50% of the population enjoys it, or less than 50%. It's not that mugma wasn't enjoyed by the rove of the population. That's lo malo lo merit. That says it depends whether it's lebrios or letainu. So the Pnei Yeshua says, since we all know in our generation that smoking is healthy for people, that it helps them digest the food, so therefore it's considered shav l'chol nefesh, even though less than 50% of the population practice smoking. If that definition of Pnei Yeshua and that psak is accurate, then today we would say just the reverse. Even if more than 50% of the population of the world does smoke, we would say still not allowed to do it on Yantar, because it's clearly only l'tayni b'alma. It's not l'briyas aguf, it's not healthy at all. But that's the chiddush that the Pnei Yeshua pointed out from the Tosfos. Tosfos did not understand shav l'chol nefesh to mean whether roiv people in the world enjoy this pleasure or miut, more than 50%, less than 50%. Rather, it depends whether it's l'tainig or l'briyas haguf. That is probably the way Tosis read the Gemara. The Gemara Bayas asks Akasha, if there is such a principle that Dovashen and Shavu L'chal Nefesh is Asur, so the Gemara asks, so what about eating deer's meat, venison? Most people can't afford it. It's extremely expensive. I never tasted it. I once had goose, once in my lifetime. Chicken meat, that I eat all the time. But deer's meat, I never ate. So the Gemara says, Ela Miyata, if there's a requirement for Dova Shava L'chol Nefesh, so since only wealthy people eat venison, and the poor people can't afford it, so that's much less than 50% of the population who can afford it, so Shechting deer should be Shava Dova Shena Shava L'chol Nefesh. So the Gemara answers, no, that's not a kasha. That if the poor people would be wealthy, they would do it also. What does it mean? So according to that Tosfos in Kira, in the third paragraph on Shabbos, you understand what it means. Doesn't depend whether more or less than 50% of the population engage in this activity. It depends whether it's Labrios or Latinic Bialmos. So eating meat is Labrios. Which meat you happen to eat, whether you eat goose meat, or you eat chicken meat, or you eat behema meat, that, or you eat liver, whatever, that's not relevant. Eating food is called Oichal Nefesh, like taking care of the body. Is called Echal Nefesh. But Mugmar, burning the incense to smell, does not roll the Briyas HaGuf, doesn't enhance the good health of the person. That's merely for the purpose of pleasure. That's only for aesthetic pleasure. So that's called Dabashen Shavuchal Nefesh. It doesn't really depend. That's what the Gemara is answering, perhaps. It doesn't really depend on whether more than 50% or less than 50% of the people enjoy this pleasure. It depends on whether it's Labrios or Latinug. There was always a big machlekes whether it's permissible to smoke on Yontif. It's interesting. I have the Haggadah of the Nesivis. It's called the Maisa Nisim Haggadah. So there isn't so much there. So in order to pad it, so they put in other things that it should be a little bigger than just plain Haggadah. So they have the Tzavor of the Nesivis. So he writes in his Tzavor, he prohibits any of his descendants from smoking on the first day Yontif. First day Yontif is the Raisa. Second day Yontif Sheni is only the Rabbanon. So he prohibits Mitam Kiburav, Mitam Tzavor. He prohibits any of his descendants from smoking on the first day Yontif. Second day Yontif, he leaves it up to them whether they want to follow the Shita HaMekilo or the Shita HaMachmir. But the first day Yontif, he thinks that you should certainly be Mach. Okay, so let's see, what does it say? What does it say in our Gemara? So our Gemara has a kasha against this. How can you tell me that you say mitoich? There were two versions of what Rabbi Yehuda said: Rav Papa in the name of Rav and Rav Papi in the name of Rav. So one of them claimed that Rabbi Yehuda permitted bir rishayna on Yontif, not ma'aser shahaya kachaya. No, he only permits on Yontif, not on Shabbos, and on Yontif is mutter because of mitoich. So this is a big breakthrough, that there's a din of mitoich. Not only is Echon Nefesh mutter, mitoich is also mutter. So the Gemara asked the Kasha, Ela Miyato, if that's true, that there is a din of mitoich, so how come Mugmer is prohibited? So Tosfos asks, what kind of a Kasha is that? Everybody knows there's a din of mitoich. That is the Machlokes Bisham and Bisilo. So what is the Amora waking up? He never heard of Bisilo. Bisilo says that there is a din of mitoich. The Gemara has, Omele Rav Achmi, the Rav Le Rav Ashi Ela Miyato. No, where was the kasha? I'm the Rav Papi. Le Rav Papi. My time. Why Daitoch? What do you think that is a din of mitoich? How are you going to explain the din of mugma? There is a din of mitoich. That's Bisham Ashita. So why does he present him with a kasha as if he doesn't believe in mitoch? So Tosfos has two suggestions how to read pshat anymore. So the one suggestion Tosfos gives is that there in Beitza there was a machlokes amarai my time in the Beisil. So the first suggestion there in Beitza was that Beisil hold that Haitzah is permissible on Yontav. You only carry over 38 malachas. Haitzah is a malacha grua. And the pasuk in Yirmiyah reads, Lo satziyah masam and matechem b'yayim ha-Shabbos. Shabbos and b'yontav lo. And there's no prohibition of Haitzah on Yontav. And it's not based on mitoch. There is no din at all of mitoch. So that's what this amora, Rapapi, yes, Rapapa Akasha, Ela Miyati, you're telling me that there is a din of mitoch. How can it be? I don't agree with you. I, but Bisil say you're permitted matzim esatinik v'salulov v'esaseifetor. Nah, that's because there's no prohibition of Hotzah on Yom Tov. That's the first suggestion that Tosfos gives. Now that's a difficult suggestion because that pshat was rejected there in Beitza. The correct pshat is that Beisilo are the disagreement with Beishamir regarding Mitoch. So that's what Tosfos gives. Another suggestion that Rapapi was asking the following kasha. Don't you see from the din of Mugmer that you only apply Mitoch to a Dovah HaRogil? Not everybody enjoys smelling the Mugmer. So if it's a Dovah Sheinu Shavu Chol Nefesh, not such a common thing. Cooking food everybody enjoys. And keeping heating water to wash pan of the other Bralagralov, that's very common. And they're turning on a fire, making a fire on Yom Tov in order to keep the body warm, in order not to get cold. That's a normal hishtamshus. But a bir rishayna, a chas and kala get married on Erev Yom Tov, bir rishayna, that's once in a lifetime you're going to have a bir rishayna. And mugmer is rare, and that everybody enjoys it. So that was the kasha of the Gemara. The Rav Papi asked the kasha, don't you see from the din of mugmer that mitoch doesn't cover all cases, only on a dovah harogil. And bir rishayna is only once in a marriage, once in a lifetime. So that's what he answered him. No, that's not the vort. It doesn't depend. Dovah shavu l'chol nefesh doesn't depend on how often it comes about. It depends whether it's l'taina gives it only for pleasure, or is it l'brius? No. So if it's only l'taina gizasa, so l'chor I would have said the bir rishayna is only l'taina giz l'hanos atzmahu miskaven. That's not l'brius. What people are healthier. When they live with their wives, they're healthier. So Tosfos fudges a little bit on this, how that fits in. It's a Dovah HaRogil. So you do say Mitoch. Okay. But the two pshatim exactly what the kasha was, because the Gemara presents it as if Rav Papi, asking Rav Papi, is denying the whole principle of Mitoch. So the first suggestion was anachanami. He didn't believe in Mitoch. He thought the reason for Mbisila was that Hoitzo is Mutar on Yom Tov. And then the second pshat was, he thought that you have to restrict Mitoch a little bit. Fine. Yeah. So again, how do we pass? Can we pass? Can Bir Rishayin is Mutter? Mutter live up Sula Afilu Bein B'Shabbos Bein B'Yantam. It's Mutter. It's a Dov Sheinim Miskaven. It's a Shvuz Du Shvuz B'Makam Mitzvah. Whatever. It's Mutter. Right. We worked it out. It's Mutter. And it's against Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan holds. Rabbi Yechanan Hora Lihisr. The Gemara uses an expression. Amri Rabbi Yanki Barid. Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. So they had Talmidim went from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. They said, "Om Rabbi Yanki Baridi, Hore Rabbi Yechanan b'Tzidon, in the city Tzidon in Eretz Yisrael, he once passed an osa." So the Gemara is troubled with the expression that Rabbi Yanki Baridi uses. He says, "Hore, he gave a hore, he passed." So the Gemara says, "Whoever heard of using the term hore to give a psak l'chumra? Hore is a chiddush. If you want to be meikel, you have to write a whole tshuva." You have to explain why it's mutter. To say why something is osa, you don't have to give such a... You don't know what the din is, so it's osa. Can you really use that expression, hoiroa, to say that something is osa? So the Gemara raised an issue. How can Rabbi Yanki Baridi really use such a terminology, hoiroa Rabbi Yechanan le'iser, osa livo b'tchila b'sul b'shabbos? The Gemara says, yeah, there's nothing wrong with using that expression, that terminology. The Gemara quotes from several sources in Mishnayos, yeah. What did the Gemara think in the first place? What was the Hava Min of the Gemara? That the term of Hayroa doesn't apply if you're going to be Machmir. So I saw in the back of the Vilna Shas, they have brief comments from one of the Gedolim who was alive at that time in the late 1880s when they were printing the Vilna Shas from the Maskele Eson, Rabbi Avram Maskele Eson. So he writes that the Gemara was raising a halachic issue. Is it called a Hayroa? I don't think he's right. He thinks it's a shaila. Is it called a hayros? So he says, "My nafkamina." For example, we have a din in the Gemara. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk shikar also lahoros. If a person drank a revius of wine, and he's a little tipsy, so he's not allowed to pasken any shailas. So the Gemara was asking a shaila. Maybe it's only shikar is also lahoros lahokel, but he may make a mistake and say wrong. Lahachme, maybe that's not called a hayros. Maybe a shikar is mutal lahoros. Or maybe a Talmud is also lahoris bifnei rabbi. Maybe that's only a hayro lahokel, to be matter something. But a hayro lahachme, maybe that's not called a hayro. I don't think that's correct at all. I think for sure Hayroa lahakalol lahachmer is called a hayroa. The Gemara was just asking, and Lashem b'ni Adam, does it make sense to use an expression? Rabbi Yanke Baridi says, Hayra Rabbi Yechanan le'iser. Does it make sense to use a Lashem hayroa and Lashem b'ni Adam le'iser? Le'iser, Rashi explains over here, that le'iser, if a person does know what the din is, so he says, it's asa, misafik. It's just a shayla and Lashem b'ni Adam. It's not a shayla in halacha. Whether halacha recognizes a psak, that's lahachmir as a psak. Of course it's a psak. Psak lahachmir is also a psak. Rashi writes the same explanation that he writes over here. He writes on the first daf in Beitza. The Gemara there has an expression, korech dehetera odif. What does it mean, korech dehetera odif? So today it's used as a melitza. Chacham Avadia, others use that loshen. When you have a shayla with something that's mutar or asar, and the Talmud Chacham wants to pasken lahakil, so he says he thinks that the korech dehetera odif, he thinks that the tzad lahakil is stronger in this instance than the tzad lahachmir. But we use it as a melitza like that. In the original source, in the Gemara, there in Beitza, the beginning of Beitza, the first half, the Gemara uses it in a different sense. Gemara says, if you are a Tana and you're composing a Mishnah or a Braise, where there's a Machloikas HaTanaim about something, and you can present the Machloikas either in case A or in case B. So if you're going to present the Machloikas in case A, it'll be a Chiddush within the Shita HaMachmira. And if you present it in case B, a different case, it'll be a shita in the shita hamekilo. So the Gemara says, korech dehetera odifle. If you can present a machlekes either in one case or a different case, and then the same machlekes applies to both cases, A and B. So it's preferable to present it in the case where you're emphasizing the korech dehetera. Because to say that something is also, you can say, if you don't know what the din is, you say it's also. It's a big achidish when someone says that something is mut, that means, with the power vested in me as a Talmud Chacham, I know what the halacha says, and I know that it's mutter in this case. I think that tzdadim l'hakel outweigh that tzdadim l'hachma. So Rashi there writes the same as he writes over here. He's explaining korech dehetera odif over there the same as he's explaining over here. Miko haroa l'chumer. I don't think the maskeleisen is right. Of course there's a haroa l'chumer. The one was just asking, does it make sense to use such a terminology? That a chacham is moira l'hachmer. Lahachmir, you can say if you don't know what the din is, so you can say lahach. So that was the question. So the Gemara said, yeah, the Gemara proves from Mishnayos and Brises that there is such a thing as Hayroa Lahachmir. So just interesting to know what are the cases that they quoted. So one case that they quoted was, first case, and Vahatanan. Yes, we do use the expression Hayroa Lahachmir. Vahatanan, Harua Beis Hillel Shetehei Nizira Oche Vashanim Achiris. There was a woman, Heleni Hamalka, Queen Helena. Her son was Munvaz HaMelech. Munvaz HaMelech was still from the Malchi Chashmenoi. Before Hurdis killed everybody out. Tosis fills you in on some of the history over here. And this Heleni Hamalka, her son, was Munvaz. So he was waging battles. He was fighting with the Goyim. So she was Mekabal and Ned and Naziris. If my son will be victorious in battle, he'll come home in one piece, alive, and he'll be victorious, she's accepting Naziris for 7 years. The din is that Stam Naziris Shloshim Yom. You can't accept Naziris for less than 30 days. And if a person doesn't specify how long a period of time he wants to be, he or she wants to be a Nazir, so you say Stam Naziris. If he didn't say how long, it's Shloshim Yom. But it can be anything more than 30 days. And it doesn't have to be in units of 30, 30, 30, 30. You can have 55 days, you can have 85 days. It doesn't have to be in units of 30. So she accepted a Nazir. She lived in Chutz Lars. So she accepted a Naziris of 7 years if her son is victorious in battle, which he was. So at the end of the 7 years of Naziris, you have to come to the Beis HaMikdash and bring the Karbonis. In order to terminate the Naziris. The Naziris doesn't end until you bring the Karbonis. Till then, she's still also B'tiklachos, B'tum, or B'yayin. So when she came to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Karbonis Naziris, they tell her, good morning, all the 7 years that you are observing Naziris and Chutz Lartz are not Oila. Why? So the Pashtus is that it's a Din Medirabon. Pashtus Pshat is it's a Din Medirabon. If the Nazir is in a cemetery and is in contact with a mace, so it says, Kol Yemei Tumas mace, are not oila, and not only that, hayamim harishanim yiplu. Let's say a nazir observed naziris for 6.5 years, and then accidentally he becomes tomei tumas meis. Someone dies all of a sudden in his house. So the whole 6.5 years is discounted. Ayamim Mishanim Yiplo. He has to have Tiglachas. We spoke about Tumah Shanozim Megalech Aleh. Tumah Sheinanozim Megalech Aleh. When we learned the Tesis on the bottom of Dalet Amid Beis, Machlech Rabbein Tam against the Masech HaSofrim. We don't pass like the Rabbein Tam. We pass like the Masech HaSofrim. So there is such an institution, the Mishnah is another, have Tumah Shanozim Megalech Aleh. Tumah Sheinanozim Megalech Aleh. So normally the din is that all the time that the person was tummy mace is not oila, and if it's a tumish anozim a galechala atz mishal mace, even say hayomer harishanim yiplu. So there is a din with the rabbanon that chutz loretz is treated as if it's one gigantic cemetery. Why is that so? So it's usually assumed because of the mace mabul, because in the days of the mabul there are dead bodies laying all over the place. We believe that the Torah, we believe all the stories that it says in the Torah, we believe it's not a fable, that there was a Mabul, and there are dead bodies all over the place. And we believe that the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. There were no walls separating, and the water should have gone all over. So that was a miracle on top of a miracle. The whole story of the Mabul doesn't make sense. There isn't so much water in the whole wide world. If you take all the water from above the clouds and below the clouds, there isn't so much water. That is, you go Chamesh Esriyamim El Maila Govra Hamayim, on top of the highest mountain in the world. So the whole Mabul was a miracle anyway. So it was a miracle on top of a miracle on top of a miracle. The miracle was that there was so much water, more water than there is in the whole water cycle. The Tanoim knew that there was a water cycle. They knew how much water there is. So the story of the Mabul was an S, and the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. It was hot water. Everything was a miracle. So there were dead Meisei Mabul all over the world except for Eretz Yisrael, because the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. So whoever accepts upon himself Nezirus and Chutz Loretz has to go to Eretz Yisrael. Kol Zmanis and Chutz Loretz, he's like he's sitting on top of a cemetery, and you made Tumas Meis and not Oyla L'Nezirus. It's only Midirabbanan, it's not Minator, but still that's a Din Midirabbanan. So when she came, Heleni Hamalka came to Eretz Yisrael at the end of the 7 years to bring the Karbonis, they tell her, Ruah Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel Paskin for her, L'chumre, we use the terminology, we use the expression hara, even though it's l'chumer, she has to start counting in the 7 years all over again. This was, Heleni Hamalka was the mother of Munvis, who was victorious in battle. So she was no youngster. And then at the end of the 7 years, the second unit of 7 years, accidentally she came in contact, someone died in the house where she was, she had to start counting 7 years. That was a real din d'oraisa. So she had to start counting in the 7 years all over again. So she was a Nazirah, she observed Nazirahs for 3 times 7, for 28 years she was observing, what am I talking about, for 21 years. For 21 years she observed the Nazirahs, till she finally brought the Karbanis to terminate it. So the Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel means the Talmidim of Hillel, the Beis Hillel Paskin Achut Tum, because of Tumas Chutz Loretz, so she has to start counting the 7 years all over again. So Tosfos is bothered with the historical kasha, that the Gemara says in the first parak of Masechta Shabbos that Hillel was the chief rabbi and Shammai was the Abbezin, the assistant chief rabbi, 100 years before the Churban HaBayis. And Hordas, I think, died 3 years, 103 years before the Churban HaBayis. So Hillel was appointed the chief rabbi 3 years after Hordas died. And Heleni Hamalka was the mother of Munvis, who was still from the Chashmonaim. This Hordas character, he's the one who killed all of the Chashmonaim. So how can it be that the Beis Hillel, the Talmidim of Hillel, Paskin Yashayla during the lifetime of Munvis's mother? This was way before. It doesn't jive. So Taisa says, no. Hillel was a big Talmid Chacham before he was appointed chief rabbi. He already had a big yeshiva at that time. Years before, he was appointed chief rabbi 100 years before the Churban HaBayis. But 25 years before that, he was also a popular, a prominent figure in the world of halacha, and he had talmidim, so the Beis Hillel, he had talmidim before he became the chief rabbi. So his talmidim, paskin, l'chumra. Yeah. That's the poshim shot, that the din that staying in chutzla, the nazir, was in chutzlords, the days are not oila, for the naziris is a din midirabbanon, because they declared chutzlords like a Beis HaKvaris. That's the Pashup Shah. Others, there's a Diyuka Rabbeinu Gershem, I think, on Tmura, in the first parak in Tmura, who sounds as if it's a Din D'oraisa. The Gemara says Avshalom was a Nazir, and Avshalom, the son of David HaMelech, Avshalom went to bring his korbanos to terminate the nazirah. So there was a funny Rabbeinu Gershon there, who sounds like he's a, in the day, and this din that Chutz Lortz has a tumas eretz amim, this was introduced in the days of the Bayi Sheni. So there's Rabbeinu Gershom in the first parak in Tmura, who writes as if this din that Chutz Lortz and not oila had existed in the days of David HaMelech. So it can't be based on the din that tumas eretz amim. So it's a shver Rabbeinu Gershom. So someone suggests no. There's a pasuk in Navi where HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises in the future at the time of the Gula Hasida, Ve'ekech mebneichem l'neviim u'mibacharechem l'nezirim. I think there's such a pasuk. There's someone to say that just like we know, the Gemara tells us in Maikotan that there's no nevu in Chutz Loretz, so too perhaps there's no, that's a klal, that's not a dimmed rabbanah. The Gemara says there's such a tradition. So too, there's no Naziris and Chutz Loretz. The Hashva, the Ekech and Benechem, the Nevim and Bacharechem, the Nazirim, just like there's no Nevoh b'Chutz Loretz, there's no Naziris and Chutz Loretz. As if it were a Din D'Oraisa, so it existed even before the Gzeir D'Rabbanon of Tumas Haratzam. But that's a Mechudish Dikke. That's a fantastic Chiddush to say like that. The Pash, this is not like the Rabbeinu Gershom. Pash is that when the nazir is in Chutz Loretz, it's not oila because it's tumas eretz amim. It's like a cemetery midirabban. The Gemara says Medina de Gemara, a kohen is not permitted to live in Chutz Loretz because he's living in even if he was born in Chutz Loretz. If you're born in a cemetery, so you have to leave. You have to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why don't we observe that today? Why come kohanim go from Eretz Yisrael? Rabbi Cook, Rabbi Simcha Cook visits America. Panavijerav was a kohen. How come so many Kohanim visit America? How come the Kohanim were born in America? Why don't they all go to Eretz Yisrael? So Rabbi Kiveger on the bottom of the page in Yerudeya, in the Simra about Tumas Kohanim, tells you to look in the Hagos of the Marikash, Rabbi Yankov Castro, one of the Sfaradish Gdolim, I think in the 1700s. Rabbi Kiveger lived the early 1800s. So the Marikash writes that the Kohanim today rely on the Ravid's opinion. The Rambam says that if a kohen is holding on to, let's say, a kohen is obligated, lo yitam, a kohen is obligated to participate in the funeral of the seven relatives. So let's say the kohen is being metapo, he's carrying his father's body, dead body, to bury the father in the cemetery. So he's doing what he's supposed to do, lo yitam, to be metapo, to design krovim, in order to take care of the kvura. At the same time that he's holding on to the body of his father, he touches another may. So the Rambam quotes from the Gemara Nazir that that's permissible. He's not being Moisev Tumal Timasa. He's holding on to this mace, one of the Zayin Krovim, which is Mutter. When he touches the other mace, at the same time he's touching this mace, it doesn't pose any additional problems. What happens if he let go from the first mace? He already finished burying the father. And then the same day, he's going to touch another mace. If he touches another mace tomorrow, so he's prolonging Yemei Tumaso, because one who's in contact with a mace cannot just go to Mikvah and become Torah. He has to first have Azor Shlishi Shvi with Poraduma water. And the Shlishi means, let's say if he came in contact, he was at a funeral on Tuesday. So Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday is Shlishi. And then next Monday is going to be Shvi. So he has to have Azor Shlishi, Azor Shvi, and then he can go to Mikvah to become Torah. After sprinkling of the paraduma water, hazor shlishi shvi. So if he was in contact with a mace on Monday with his father, his body on Monday, he buried his father. Then he's going to touch another mace on Tuesday. So he's moisiv tuma, he's prolonging the tuma for another day. Because he can't begin to have the hazor shlishi shvi till the next day. You have to wait till shlishi, after he came in contact with the mace, the next day. What if he buried his father this morning? Then this afternoon, on the same day, he's going to touch another mace. It's not going to be Moisif Yomim. Not going to add on Yimei Tumah. He's touching another mace today. It's going to be the same Hazor Shlishi Shvi. So that's a Machloikis in the Gemara. It's a Machloikis in Gemara Nozir. Because the Dinim on Nozir and Kohen are the same. So that's a Machloikis, the Rambam and the Ravid had a Paskin. How to read the Gemara and the Mela had a Paskin. But it's clear in the Gemara that there is such a Machloikis. So the Rambam Paskins, that to touch another mace on the same day, is Asr. The Ravid asks why you're not being Maisiv Tum Al Tumas. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam. So the The Shulti Giborim writes, even though the Rabbi agrees, let's say, the Rabbi only disagrees with the Rambam if he touched his father's mace. He buried his father this morning, then he touches another mace in the afternoon. So the Rabbi says, you're not prolonging, you make tumah. An extra day is going to be the same Hazor Shlishi Shvi, the same Shivas Yemei Tumah. So the Rabbi thinks that there's no prohibition, there's no issa. So the Shulti Giborim quotes Rishonim say, if one would adopt the position of the Ravid, so since Bizman Hazeh, we don't have available to us Efer Poro, so even if it's going to, anyone who's already a Tomei Meis, any Kohen who's already Tomei Meis, he attended the funeral of one of the seven relatives, for the rest of his life, he can, it's permissible to come in contact, that's this question whether the Ravid ever said that. The Ravid says, if he'll come in contact with the Meis the same day, he won't be Loike. He won't be Loike. The Ravid didn't say that it's Mutter. But the simple reading on the Ravid sounds like he says that that it's Mutter. So the Shilti Yidvarim says from the Smag, if one holds like the Ravid, so his manazeh, Eif Par is not available, so a Kohen who already was once Nit Mutter, the one in Zayin Karevim, for the rest of his life, he can be Metamit Mutter, for him to be Metamit to any Meisim he wants. Because he say, you don't say he's prolonging Yimei Tumah. We don't have any Paraduma. He's not being Maisiv Tumah Altamos. So we don't follow the Ravid. We tell Kohanim, even after they participated in a funeral, one of the Zayin Karevim, the next day for sure they're not allowed to be Metamit to another Mace. Even the same day we don't allow. He's not even permitted on the same day. We follow the Rambam. So Rabbi Kiv-Eger quotes from the Marikash, from this Ha'aris of Rabbi Yankov Kastra on the Shulchan Aruch, that with respect to Tumas Chutzlart, that's only Chumra Midirabbanon, so all the Kohanim rely on the Shitas Arayvid, that since they're already Tamei Mesim, if that's true, if the Kohen is already Tamei Mesim, if he once attended a funeral of one of the Zaykrim, sometimes it's not a Tamei Mesim, but if the Kohen is already a Tamei Mesim, then there's no prohibition in remaining in Chutzlart. That's the Kula that all the Kohanim rely on. It's a questionable Kula. It's also questionable, Mishlam Melech raises the question, when the Ravid writes disagreeing with the Rambam, the Ravid writes, if the Kohen was Nitma to one of the seven relatives, and then on the same day he'll be Nitma to another person, not a relative, he'll be Loike, so the Ravid says, I disagree, he won't be Loike. So the Ravid, did the Ravid mean to say that it's Mutter? Is that the Gomer to be Metame to another Mace on the same day? That's what the Shilti Giborim is assuming. Shilti Giborim on Shavuos is assuming like that. And the Mishlam Melech says he's not so convinced that the Ravid meant that. Perhaps the Pshat and the Ravid is only that you're not Loike, but there will be an Issa. So the Chasam Sefer the Chasam Sefer writes that his Rebbe, Rav Nos Nadler, showed the Nadiv Yehuda. Sam Sofer was brought up in Frankfurt. He was born and raised in Frankfurt. And there he learned Barab Nas Nadla. And he left his parents' home and he moved in Barab Nas Nadla. Rav Nos Nadler told him to leave his parents' home. He won't be successful in learning. So as a teenager, he left. And then when Rav Nos Nadler left Frankfurt, the Balabatim chased him out of town because he didn't conform to all of their minhagim. He davened with Sechsvar, he had a Havarasvar, that he did a lot of things different from everybody else. So they chased him out of town. So his Talmud, the Chasam Sofer, went along with him. And they traveled from Frankfurt, and they went to the city that was across the bridge from Prague. And at that time, Nadi Yehuda was the rabbi in Prague. So the, I don't know why, the story is that Rav Nos Nadler didn't enter into Prague, and the Chasam Sofer, who was a teenager still, would go back and forth over the bridge to deliver messages between the Nadiv Yehuda, the Rav in Prague, and his Rebbe, Rav Nos Nadler. So the Chasam Sofer writes in one of his tshuvas that the Dogel Mevavan Yeridaya, the Horus of the Nadiv Yehuda, writes that an Adam Gadol showed him that the Ravid in the Tmim Deim says Beferish that he never meant to say in the Hasagas on I never meant to say that it's Mutter for the Kohen to be Metame to another Mace on the same day. The rabbi just meant to say that is ain't a loike. That's the lashon of the rabbi, ain't a loike. So the Chasam Sofer writes, I was the one who showed this Tmim Deim to the Nadiv Yehuda, my Rebbe, Rav Nos Nadler, told me to show him the Tmim Deim. Tmim Deim is the tshuvas of the rabbi, but he writes explicitly, he never meant to say that it's mutter. He just meant to say that is ain't a loike. So the whole heter of the Marikash falls apart. If the rabbi never said it in the first place, he never said that one is tamei, a kain is tamei, and he's not going to prolong the meituma is muta the tam the mesim. He just said that zayin aloiket. So the whole all the kohanim have to leave. So I'll have to leave chutzlas. I have to go there itself. According to that dogma of Abba, there's nothing to rely on. Okay, so that's a problem. Anyway, so that was the first case. The Gemara quotes Hayro le chumre Harua beisilil shetei nazira od sheva shanim acheres. That Heleni Hamalka had to wait another 7 years. Then the Gemara quotes another Hayro le chumre that there's a certain breaking of certain bones in the nekavim in certain parts of the body. Nekavim chalulim chalulim. If you have a hole in the wrong place, you have a hole in the lungs, then you won't have a hole in the stomach, then you can die. Sometimes it's a treifus, sometimes it's not a treifus. So there was a machlokes hatanaim. How much does the spine have to be cracked that the animal should be a treifus? The chuta shedra of an animal. So either nifsa gruboi or even nikev, even a nekev mashehu. So the Gemara says, Hoyra Rebbe Kereb Yankev, Rebbe Paskin Lechumr. That's Lechumr, we call it Hoyra. Yeah, the Gemara says we call it Hoyra, even Lechumr. So it's not a pella that Rabbi Yechanan, they quote Rabbi Yechanan, Hoyra Lechumr, that you're not permitted to have the beer Rishayna on Shabbos. But we don't pass like Rabbi Yechanan. Okay. So this was a side topic. I don't think that the Maskal Eisen is right. He thinks that it is a fundamental machlokes over here, whether it's called a hayro if you say lechum. Of course it's called a hayro. Just a deal of Hashem and the Adam. Doesn't make sense to call it a hayro like kerech de tero, like Rashi says over there. But it's not a halachic issue. Okay, what are we learning here? We're learning about a psula nisis. We said when we started the mesichta that the two mesichtas is kiddushin and is ksubis. Kiddushin is about erisin. And Ksuba says about Nisuan, and the mission talks about a Besula Nisus, the Besula having Nisuan. So the Gemara introduces now Birchas Nisuan. There is a concept of Birchas Erisin, that the Gemara is going to get to that on Amud Beis, way later. But first they're talking about the Birchas Nisuan. That's what we call Sheva Brachas. It's not really Sheva Brachas, it's really only six Brachas, and the first Brachas is Bar Pi Al Gofen. We always say Bar Pi Al Gofen first, when you say Kiddush, when you say Havdalah, when you have a bris, you say Bar Pi Al Gofen, and you say Shikidish, you did me betan. You always say the Bar Pi Al Gofen first. The one exception to the rule is when you bench alakos, when you say Birchas Hamazon. So you don't say Bar Pi Al Gofen first, then you say the benching. So Tosis and Brochus asks Manishtana, how come by benching we first recite the Birchas Hamazon, then we recite the Bar Pi Al Gofen? So Tosis says, Birchas Hamazon is a declaration that I finished eating. It's a Hesach Hadas from eating. So if you're going to say Bar Pi Al Gofen first, then you're going to say Birchas Hamazon, then you're going to have to say another Bar Pi Al Gofen after you finish the benching, because the Birchas Hamazon itself is a declaration that I'm not eating anymore. So why should you say Bar Pi Al Gofen twice? So Birchas Hamazon is the exception to the rule, that we would bench alakos, so you say the Bar Pi Al Gofen after you finish the whole bench. Okay? When you have, let's say, under the chuppah, you say Sheva Brachas, it's really six Birchas Nisuin, and the Bar Pi Al Gofen. Who said Bar Pi Al Gofen first? What if you have at the wedding dinner, or you have a party in the first week, the Shivasi Ma'amish, you have a Sheva Brachas? So when do you say the Bar Pi Al Gofen there? So that's a Machloikas Achreinim. The Knesset Hagdoila and Ebenezer quotes a Machloikas Achreinim. What we do is first we recite Birchas Hamazon, then at the end of the wedding meal, and then you recite, and you don't say Bar Pi Al Gofen before the Birchas Hamazon. Then we say the Sheva Brachas after the benching. So he quotes some the Knesset Hagdoila, quotes some Machlokes Achreinim. It's really a fundamental Machlokes Rishonim. What's the nature of the Sheva Brachas that are recited at the end of the benching? Is it a longer version of benching? Normally benching is four brachas. Azanas Hakol, No Delucha, Rachna, Atoiva, Meitiv, Til Yolam Ayichasreinu. And then by a chasana or by a shivasim amishta, you add on another six brachas. So the benching is converted from four brachas. Four plus six is ten. Has ten brachas. And then if it's a longer form of bench, you have to say the Bar Pi Al Gofen at the end. You have to say the Bar Pi Al Gofen after everything is all over. And you don't need two separate cups of wine. What about benching itself? Do you need a separate cup of wine for Hazanah Sakol, separate cup of wine for Noidalucha, separate cup for Rahmana, separate cup for Atoiva Amet? If you don't need it, if you want to, the Gemara is going to have later, you can have it. We'll have to learn that Gemara yet. But it's not necessary. That's not a violation. That you can't bench. Let's say a lot of people finish eating shalashudis, they bench, and then they save the cup of wine, and they say havdolah over the same cup of wine. So the Gemara says in Arvei Pesachim that you're not supposed to do that. It's a problem why we do it. We're going to have to talk about that. But strictly speaking, it's a violation of Einoisim Mitzvus Chavilas Chavilas. Because you want to have benching alakos, you want to have abdol alakos. So these are two different brachas alakos. But if you want to say bichas hamazon alakos, bichas hamazon has four brachas, so we usually say bichas hamazon over one cup of wine. If you want, you can have a separate cup. For hazanas, I call a separate cup for noid b'luch, but we don't do that. So if one should assume that the six brachas that are added on at the wedding dinner, wedding meal, and at the Sheva brachas party, is in a longer version of the benching. So this day benching consists of 10 brachas. So you can have one cup of wine for all the 10 brachas and say Baruch Yagofen at the end, like Bichas Hamazon Alakos. That's how the Rambam writes in Hilchas Brachas. When he quotes all the dinim of Bichas Hamazon, so he says Bichas Hamazon only has four brachas. And if it's a wedding, then you add on another six brachas and it's a longer version of the Bichas Hamazon. But then other Rishonim say not so. Other Rishonim say it's not a longer version of the Birchas HaMazon. It has not necessarily anything to do with the Birchas HaMazon. The Rosh, on this Daf in Ksubas, on Daf Zayin, quotes that there was a practice in the days of the Gaonim that on the Shabbos of the Shivas Yimei HaMishpeh, after the wedding, Shabbos Shevet Brachas, so the Kehila would dance the Chasen Kala home to their parents' home, and they would sing and dance and make merry. They wouldn't eat anything. Or some places they would have a little snack. They wouldn't bench Birchas HaMazon at all. And then they would say Sheva Brachas without eating anything or without necessarily eating bread and reciting Birchas HaMazon. So the Rosh quotes such a practice that you can have Sheva Brachas unrelated to Birchas HaMazon. It means that they're two separate units. So that's what Tosis raises a possibility in Arvei Pesachim. Maybe you're not allowed to say the Birchas HaMazon and the Sheva Brachas on the same cup of wine. Maybe it's a violation of Chavilas Chavilas, having the same cup of wine for benching for Shalashudas and for Havdalah. The Medina, the Gemara, says you're not allowed to do that. So Tosis raises the possibility. Maybe you're not allowed to have Birchas HaMazon and Sheva Brachas on the same cup of wine. They're two units. Birchas HaMazon is four brachas, Sheva Brachas are a separate unit, two different things. So we go the Chumra in both directions. So we go the Chumra, we have two separate cups of wine. If you want, you can have four cups of wine for the four brachas of Birchas HaMazon. But it's not necessary. So here, because it's a machlekes, do you need a separate cup of wine for benching and a separate cup of wine for the Sheva Brachas? So there's a machlekes. So we go the Chumra, we have two different cups of wine. And then there's a further machlekes. Should you say the benching is over after the Olam Ayich Hasreinu, you should really say Bar Piagofen and drink that cup of wine. Then you should have another cup of wine and say Bar Piagofen first and then say the next six brachas. Right after benching, you should say Bar Piagofen, drink that cup of wine, and fill another cup of wine and say Bar Piagofen first, then Sheva Brachas. So that's the machlekes. That depends on the machlekes. Is it a longer version of Birchas HaMazon? Has 10 brachas. You have to say the Bar Piagofen at the end. Or no, it's a separate unit, so you can really say the Bar Piagofen before. So because of the Machlekes, so we go to Chumra to save the Bar Piagofen until the end. So we're really going to Chumra in both directions. You have two cups of wine, one for the bench and one for the Sheva Brachas, going to Chumra to treat it as if they're two different units. But then we don't say Bar Piagofen after the Olam Ayich Hasreinu, before the Sheva Brachas. We save the Bar Piagofen until the end. So that's Lechum in the other direction, that maybe it is one unit, maybe they're not two different units. That's a machlaikis in the Rishayim. There's a bit of a steer in the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Brachas, when he quotes the Dinim of Birchas HaMazon, sounds like the Sheva Brachas are a longer version of the Birchas HaMazon. And then in Hilchas Ishas, when he quotes it, it doesn't sound like that at all. Doesn't seem like it so. Anyway, so here the Gemara is talking about the Sheva Brachas, the Birchas Nisuin. And on the base, the Gemara will get to the Birchas Erisin later. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah talks about Bisula, Nisis, and the Basula is getting married. That's the first time she's getting married. So the Gemara says, Amar Abchelva, Amar Abhun, Amar Ababa, Bazabda, Amar Rav. Doesn't make a difference. Basula gets married on Wednesday, that's only a Basula. If she's a Bula, she gets married on Thursday. But with respect to the Bichas Nisuin, the Shever Brachas, doesn't make a difference. Achas Basula, Achas Almona, to Una Bracha. He do say the Shever Brachas. The Gemara says, isn't it a contradiction? One of the names is Rav Huna. Rav Chevel quotes Rav Huna, who quotes Rav Abba Bazavta, who quotes in the name of Rav. So one of them is Rav Huna. Gemara says, Miyam Rav Huna Hachi, is that really Rav Huna's opinion? The Ha'am Rav Huna, Almana Eim Etuna Brocha, and an Almana gets married, there's no need to have Sheva Brochas. So the Gemara gives an answer, it depends who the husband is. If the husband is getting married for the first time, then you do have Sheva Brochas. If both the husband and the wife both getting married for the second time, or even if they're not getting married, let's say the woman was intermarried. Here the Gemara is going to talk about Rus HaMoavia. So we usually assume on her way back to Eretz Yisrael, she converted. And the Gemara in Yevamos has the whole sugi of Geiris based on the Psukim and Megillas Rus, where she says, Vasher telchi elech, Vasher talin olin, Vasher tal mus yomis, Vasher mekover, she was mekabel aleho, all of the mitzvahs, the din of Yichud, and the din of Tchum Shabbos, Vasher telchi elech, I won't walk chutz l'tchum, Vasher talini olin, I won't violate the dinim of Yichud, and so on. So a ger has to have kabbalas on mitzvahs, is learned that from the Psukim in Megillas Rus. This professor ran some professor in Eretz put out a whole book with a big chiddush that the institution of conversion requiring kabbalas on mitzvahs was invented by Rabbi Yitzchak Shmelkish in the 1850s in Lemberg that never existed before. This achumra that was invented. The Pashim Shat, that's what it says in Tanakh. Amechami v'alakai chalakoi. That's kabbalas on mitzvah. The Gemara says that if a ger is prepared to accept everything except for one mitzvah, the Rabbanan, you don't accept them. The halacha says you require a kabbalas on mitzvahs. So the story with Ruth was, I'll be pashtu Ruth HaMoavia, she wasn't Jewish, and she was married to one of the Jewish boys. So she was. You can't really say she was an almana. Almana means she was married and her husband died. There's no tvisis kiddushim between a Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman. So Tosfos points out she wasn't, strictly speaking, she wasn't really an almana. Where's the Tosfos on Amud Beis? The Tosfos on Amud Beis, the Ramaschal, the Haboaz Alman Shanasa Almana. Lav Davka Almana. Rusa Ma'aviyah, you can't really call her almana. Her husband died. Geshenisus Lamachlon, Oysa Nochris. There's no tvisis kiddushim. So she's not a widow. She was never married. She was living business with Machlon. Elakiv Nebula, he came on a choshev lo. The Gemara says it's not the first time that she was having a bia with a man. So Ruth HaMoavi, after she converts, marries Boaz. He was already married. He had many children before. So it wasn't his first marriage, and it wasn't the first time that she was living with a man. So then Gemara calls that an alman shenos alman. So that's the Gemara asks, how can you say that if both the husband and the wife were previously married, Alma Shanos Almana, there's no Sheva Brochas? But the Gemara learns that the Gemara is going to have an Amud Beis, two opinions in Amoraim. How do you know that you need 10 people present to recite Birchas Nisun? If you don't have 10 people, you can't recite Birchas Nisun. So one Amor quotes this pasuk here. Rav Huna bar Nosson says it's based on the pasuk in Rus. Why did he need 10 people? So the Gemara says, obviously, because he wanted to marry Rus HaMoaviyah, and he needed 10 people to say Bichas Nisuin. That's one pshat. And the Gemara says, the other pshat, no. For that, you don't need Asara Zikainim, Mizikna here. You don't need Talmid HaChachamim. When you want to have Shevet Brochas by a wedding, so you have to have 10 Rabbanim. You don't need 10 Zikainim, Mizikna here. The Gemara says, no. The Rus HaMoaviyah was Materis Lava Bekol. The prohibition of Amoine Mayav, the other Bekal Hashem, only applies to the male. It doesn't apply to the female of Amoine Mayav. So that's why he gathered 10 people to say over the din, to be Mefarsim the din, the 10 people with Tamina Chakami. But this principle that you need a minion of 10 people to be said Bechut Nisun is based on a different pasuk, not the pasuk in Rus, but rather the pasuk in Tilim. The Gemara on the base, about 10 lines from the top, quotes from Tilim. The Makelis Baruch Elokim Hashem and Mekar Yisrael. So the Gemara is, but I'll call upon him, the first opinion in the Gemara was that Boaz marries Lusa Moavia. Boaz had many wives and many children. He had many, many weddings. He married off a lot of children, sons and daughters. And Lusa Moavia was, she actually wasn't married. It was a Nisui Tarula. She wasn't Jewish and her husband was. En Kiddush and Tofsin. But for our purposes, that's an Alma Shanas Almana. And the Gemara says that they did recite Birchas Nitzun. So what do you tell me that they don't recite Birchas Nitzun? The Gemara says no. The question is, how many days do you recite Birchas Nitzun? So if either the husband or the wife is getting married for the first time, so then you say Birchas Nitzun for 7 days. Shivasi Mamisht. But if both of them were previously married, then you only have Shevet Brachas 1 day. That's also a big machlekes. What does that mean? If this chichuv and Ebenezer quotes a machlekes. This happens, unfortunately, very often. Let's say the chuppah, you have an alma shenas almana, or a garish marries a grusha, each one was previously married, and then they get married in the afternoon, and then they go into the yichud room, and then the photographer is taken forever, and by the time they come into the dinner, it's already after tzeisat kochavim. So the day is up already. They got married in the daytime, and now it's 2 hours later, till they finally walk into the hall where all the people are eating. So that's a big machlekes. The Gemara says you only say Shevet Brachas 1 day means one meal. This is the first meal that the one and only meal that you're having in their honor is this wedding meal. The wedding meal is balayla. The chuppah was bayom. The meal is balayla. So you say that they blew it. It's a wrong day. And they say no, since it's the first meal, they're certainly muta. So that's a machlekes achronim. So in such a case, which unfortunately happens every so often, you have a garish marries a grusha. Or an Alman and marries a Garish, marries an Alman. So they only have Shevet Brachas 1 day. So they should get married earlier in the afternoon, so to see to it that the Birchas HaMozim with the Shevet Brachas should take place on the same day. You shouldn't have it the next day, because that's Shailah Lebracha Levatol. So that's what the Gemara answers. If it's an Alman Shanas Almana, then you only have Shevet Brachas 1 day, and if either the husband or the wife is getting married for the first time, then you have Shevet Brachas for 7 days. Then the Gemara asked the Kasha, but we had a brisa before, Chachamim Shoktu Chachamim Al Tarkanas Benos Yisrael, that the husband should be Mesameach with the wife 3 days. So where does the 3 days come in? Either it's 7 days or it's 1 day. Where do you come off to say 3 days? So the Gemara says, no, those are two different things. The husband has to be Mesameach with his wife, means he has to take off from work. He can't just get married and leave his wife at home and go back to work or go back to the yeshiva. Husband has to be bottled by Melachtoi to entertain his wife. So that's the question. How long does he have to be Mesameach his wife? So that depends on the wife. So if the wife is getting married for the first time, he has to be Mesameach with her. He has to take off from work 7 days. If the wife is getting married for the second time, even though he's getting married for the first time, but the simcha means achiv, the chosen is mukhiv to misameach the kala. There's another din that the tzibur is mukhiv to misameach the chosen and the kala. That's a different din. We're talking over here, the husband taking off from work. So if the girl was previously married, then it's only mukhiv to misameach her. Shok the chachamim, he should take off from work for 3 days. So the Gemara says these two things are not totally zeh bezeh. If the girl is getting married for the first time, then it's going to be Shivasi Me'amishta. And if the girl is getting married for the second time, even though the chosen, let's say the chosen is getting married for the first time, so you'll say Shevet Brachas for all 7 days, but he doesn't have to take off from work. She's getting married for the second time, he's getting married for the first time. So if either he or she is getting married for the first time, then you have 7 days of Shevet Brachas. But you know, he doesn't have to take off from work for more than 3 days, because that's a chiyuv simcha. So that's what the Gemara makes it clear. They're two different dinim. Shevet Brachas all 7 days, and see that he or she is getting married for the first time. Shevet Brachas means that we're mechayiv to be, the tzibur is mechayiv to be misameach, the chosen and the kavaseh. Either of them is getting married for the first time, it's 7 days. If both of them are getting married for the second day, maspikin for misameach them for 1 day. But the husband taking off from work, that's a different issue. So that depends only on the wife. If the wife is getting married for the first time, he has to take off for 7 days. Wife is getting married for the second time, he only has to take off for 3 days. Okay, so maybe we'll stop here. So again, tomorrow, my schedule doesn't permit me to give a shiur. But believe me, on Tuesday, I will be able to give a shiur, but the shiur won't be able to be the normal time. I'll have to be in touch. I think it'll probably